Hello.
Hello and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast.
And the prequel thereof.
And the prequel thereof.
Yeah, Kano has to get up early, so we're starting a little early. So we got about 15 minutes of prequel.
We'll have the prequel here and then end it on the Blog Talk Radio, where normally we do the prequel on Blog Talk Radio and end it here.
Yeah, but I think we should actually talk about the aneurysm starting with Blog Talk Radio, because the people who want to listen to that, come on to that. But we can discuss feeding strange things to animals.
Which we were talking about just a minute ago before we decided to call in and talk about it.
Right, right. Yeah, I follow this. I watch a lot of videos from the permaculture design certificate course. And one of the instructors was talking about, there's two instructors, and I can't remember the names. I think one of them was Bill Mollison, and the other one was the skinny guy, and I can't remember the skinny guy's name. But
Kano.
It wasn't Kano. He was talking about in one of the videos off there, he has a supplement package that he feeds his animals, not because it improves their health, but because it's nutrients for the soil, and by passing it through an animal's gut first, it makes it more available for the soil to use.
But it's not harmful to the animal.
And it's not harmful to the animal, and ultimately it's good for the animal because it improves the very soil that the animal is on.
Right. And the plants that the animal is eating.
Right. Yeah.
Unlike
and, you know,
the cement that they feed the cattle.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things, and I'm not sure exactly why they do that, but they do it as a nutritional supplement for cattle because there's actually a lot of calcium in cement. And it's my understanding that it supposedly gives better milk. I'm sure it builds better bones. Bones of steel.
Well, I don't know. It's a rock mineral. We don't absorb rock minerals like we do plant minerals.
At least
and
most
if
of us
we don't.
Don't,
if we don't absorb rock minerals very well, I'm sure animals don't absorb rock minerals very well either.
That being said,
if the cement or whatever it is that they're feeding the cattle, if it doesn't hurt them, then I don't really see any problem with it.
I do. Because now you're putting cement down in their shit, which will dissolve in the water and go down about 18 inches and form a hard pan, which will stop water absorption from going down deeper.
Well, that was my second statement. If it's good for the soil and it doesn't harm the cattle, then I don't see anything wrong with it. But if it's going to damage the soil and damage the nutrients in the plants, I mean, because the plants will eat up that calcium, no problem. But
well, yes and no.
If it,
because it's one of the major problems we have with farms now. They lime the soil for the sake of the plants, but they put down so much lime that it forms that hard pan. You know.
Right. So it's one thing to put down enough nutrients, but if you put down too much nutrients or not enough, then that's what usually causes issues.
Or basically the wrong kind of nutrients. I mean, we live in Missouri. We live in Missouri. Just about every soil around here has some form of limestone in it. It's either a limestone sand or a limestone direct or a clay that came from limestone. All of our soil is rich in calcium. And yet the farmers spread lime on their soil on purpose to improve grass growth. Because apparently the grass isn't getting enough calcium out of the calcium-rich soil.
Right.
Yeah. You know, why is that? Well, because the roots can't go deep enough because they hit that cement layer about 18 inches down.
Well, we don't have a calcium problem in America. We have a magnesium problem.
That too, but I mean, the plants have a calcium problem. That's why they're putting the lime down. But
right.
they're actually increasing their problem by putting down the lime. It's a little counterintuitive. Like,
well
the plants need calcium. I should put down more calcium.
That's also probably because they don't observe the Jubilee.
They don't observe the Jubilee, and they don't observe the sabbatical years.
Right.
They do not let the land rest, ever. Well, they do. They wait until it fails, and then they let it go feral. I forget what the word is, but basically they leave it alone for about 3 or 4 years until it starts growing trees and such. And then they got to go to a lot of work to remove all the trees and stuff like that in order to make the field good again. Whereas if they
right.
just let the land rest every 7 years, it'd go a long ways for stopping that. But, yeah, I mean,
our
know,
land has been resting for how many years?
3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's starting to grow trees.
Right.
What brought up this discussion in the first place was in Johnson County, I talked to the extension office, and I wanted to know what organic nutrients I could put on the soil to make up for deficiencies. And basically, the extension office guy told me there was no way to do it organically, that what I had to do is go buy chicken manure from chickens who had been fed this artificial diet. You know, that I couldn't go and get organically grown chicken manure because it wouldn't have the nutrients in it. Potassium and potassium and phosphate were the two main ones that he was saying that we needed to put in our soil. And he was saying the only way you could even get close to doing organically is to buy the manure from non-organically raised chickens, because they give them mineral supplements, and there's a high degree of potassium and phosphates in their feed. You know, probably right there along with arsenic, which, you know, if you eat too much chicken, you're going to get arsenic poisoning, because it's standard industrial practice to feed arsenic to your chickens to make them hungrier. They get fat faster.
Well, that's good for you, though.
Yeah. Yeah, my sister was a nurse, and she had a victim of that very thing in her hospital. They're trying to figure out how he got arsenic poisoning, because his arsenic level was going up even though he's in the hospital. Well, the man ate about 5 buckets of chicken a day.
Right. Was he a bodybuilder?
No. Well, yeah, he was building lots of body. He was pretty heavy.
Oh, okay. Because I know bodybuilders tend to eat a lot of chicken.
Yeah, he was pretty obese, and and he ate about 5 buckets of chicken a day, and I don't remember the exact amount, but you know that it was a lot. It was a lot, and you know it was more than a bucket of chicken, all right, a day. So, and his arsenic level while he was in the hospital was going up, and somebody clued into the fact that they feed chickens arsenic. And this guy was eating so much chicken, he was actually getting enough arsenic from the chicken, it was poisoning him.
Nice.
So they had to take the joy of this man's life away from him. Saturday, he needed to go raise his own chickens.
Free range, which Yiska and them were talking about breeding a new breed of chickens, which somebody else previously did, but they supposedly went extinct because the guy quit doing it, and no one continued his research, and they want to pick up or try to learn how to pick up where he left off.
So start with the original breeds he started with, cross them, and look for the same characteristics.
Something like that. I'll have you talk to them about that. But Yiska seems to be a breeder connoisseur. So, or breeding connoisseur, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I used to raise rats and mice. Hey, we're 3 minutes from the blog talk.
Yeah, we need to be on the minute, so we're 1 minute late, so the auto-recording plays.
Right. I just want you to know. We'll go by your clock, okay. But you should be watching it now, because we're 3 minutes still. So, where we'll talk about aneurysms and what you might be able to do about them. So, just saying.
Just saying.
Right.
So, well, I couldn't find anything in my prescriptions for natural healing or herbal healing. Let's see, where's my free food and medicine book? Here we go. So I had to Google it. See what Google says.
And in about 2 minutes, we'll discuss what you found on Google and what I found on Google.
Yeah, I looked up essential oils and herbs. David looked up, what did you look up?
I look up herbs for aneurysms. All right.
Okay.
And I got about 5 sites that I went through, and of course, there was contradictory information, and we'll discuss that because there's 2 major philosophies concerning health, and aneurysms demonstrate it. So,
awesome.
So,
according to this, patchouli, cedarwood, sandalwood, and frankincense. If you're talking about essential oils, there's another one too, vetiver.
Okay, don't know what vetiver is, but then again, to be honest, I don't really know
either.
What patchouli is. I only know what it smells like. I mean, is there a patchouli plant?
It's a green herb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every green herb.
That's it.
So are there purple herbs and orange herbs? And it's 10 o'clock. Are you going to call in?
Yes, here we go.
All right.
It'll take a minute, so you can keep talking.
So there are green and there are purple and orange herbs. He said yes. Oh my! This is the longest minute I've ever stared at. It's still 10 o'clock. Is the recording not kicking in, or is it just not? Yeah, I'm going to suffer from ticks this year. Did we lose you? I don't hear any sound on your end.
Sorry, I screwed up. It's a bad year for ticks.
Yeah, my soap trick is not working this year.
Nice.
I think it's just because of the sheer volume of ticks. You know. So I may be killing ticks that crawl on my skin, but by morning I'm still finding ticks still crawling on me, and it's probably because they just came into my camper minutes before I woke up. And it's really kind of driving me batty. So you can imagine Elizabeth, who's not used to this stuff, she's probably going nuts too. So, more so than me. Probably going to have to get some more of that Castile soap.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4,
there you go.
3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. So since I screwed up and accidentally called in without punching in the proper code numbers, the auto recording isn't going to auto play.
Ouch.
That's okay. But I have a new auto recording, so next week maybe you'll get to hear it.
Oh, you mean the one we heard last week, wasn't it?
No, that was a mistake. That was something that I recorded a long time ago. And
it was kind of funny.
It was funny. That was supposed to be an advertisement recording for this podcast before we decided to make it a free food and medicine podcast. So we didn't really know what we were going to use it for, and now we do. Yeah,
take 103.
It was funny. Right. It is comical. And once I edit it and make it a shorter one, I'll use it somewhere. Teacher.
Right.
But anyhow, it was a good recording. I meant for it to be serious, and it turned out to be comical, but it still turned out to be good by mistake.
Yeah, I screwed him up big time. I did. I just...
So today's topic is what herbs...
Aneurysms. Herbs for aneurysm.
Yeah. Normally, we just talk about the herbs and talk about what they're good for. But this week, we're going to talk about the problem and what herbs are good for the problem and what free food and medicine you can look for.
Well, do you mind if I give a quick synopsis of what I found?
Go for it.
Okay. So, folks, basically, an aneurysm is when your arteries get weak and your regular blood pressure literally blows a balloon or makes a bulge in your arteries. All right. So it's, you know, it's bad arteries and they can't handle the pressure, and they occur in a number of places. You can have them in your brain, and then they call it a brain aneurysm. People frequently have them in their lower gut, you know, down in their intestinal area. And they can actually be deadly down there because they can be quite big. And when they blow out, basically, I didn't find any documentation that said this way, but I would assume it probably would feel a lot like having a bayonet shoved in your gut. You know, so the shock alone could kill you. And it's pretty close to that because you're bleeding out on the inside. So, standard medical knowledge from what I was able to find, and I'm no expert. Maybe this is wrong. Maybe standard medical has determined that it can be fixed. But from what I'm reading on these various sites, it appears that standard medical belief is once an aneurysm forms, there's really nothing that can be done for it. You know, even if they do surgery, you know, they're doing surgery on a weak piece of tissue that, you know, putting needles through it would probably just break it. You know, so, and basically this is nothing to be done for it. But I did find a site that had some Chinese medicine protocols for strengthening the arteries and stuff like that. And I found some other sources of herbal remedies for strengthening your arteries and stuff like that. And when Kano presented the question to me, my first response to it was, well, I would start with things like yarrow and wild lettuce and thistle root and
chicory.
All of these things strengthen your circulatory system and improve your heart health. All right.
Garlic
would be a good one as well. All right. You know, but basically the lettuce family, you know, grab your dandelions and eat them down. All right. And the herbalists I saw on the sites that said that aneurysms could be cured, basically it just boils down to strengthening the arterial walls back to their original strength. You know, so yeah, you might still have a bulge there permanently, but wouldn't you like that bulge to be strong so it doesn't pop?
True that. Another thing to do, too, is avoid chlorine, because chlorine causes scarring of the arteries.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you don't want them brittle, and you don't want them to be thin. You want them to be, you know, arterial walls are supposed to be pretty thick, because, you know, when your heart pumps, it puts a lot of pressure on your blood, and so the aneurysms form because, you know, your arteries are getting weak, and, you know, suddenly there's a weak spot. And so, you know, it's like, you know, you're driving down the road with your tires. If you drive long enough, eventually the tire gets, the rubber gets thin enough, you blow out this little balloon on the side of the tire, and it pops. Well, same thing with your arteries. You're not feeding them right. They get thinner and thinner and thinner till eventually they start blowing bubbles. And that's an aneurysm. So I would say this from what I read. The best solution is, before you even get an aneurysm, start working on your heart and your circulatory system's health. Just keep it healthy in the first place. So,
a healthy, happy heart.
All right. So if I go any further, I'm going beyond my synopsis. So.
Well, basically, I wasn't really prepared. I had a busy week.
Yeah, me neither. This is a pretty serious subject, and I'm by no means any expert. I've never cured anybody's aneurysms, as far as I know. But from what I looked up, you know, my first instincts were the right ones. Feed yourself things that make those systems more healthy. And the things I know of are things like yarrow and lettuce and thistle and dandelion, and Kano added garlic, you know. So, you know, look for things. You know, it's you know, if you got cancer, look for the things that make the tissue that has cancer healthy. And if you can make that tissue healthy again, the cancer goes away. So, I would suspect that if you can make your arterial tissue healthy again, if the aneurysm doesn't go away, it'll at least have a good, healthy, thick layer of tissue around it, so it ain't going to get any bigger, and it ain't going to pop, because now it's strong. You know, it might be a weird shape now, but it's strong. You know, so.
And the weird shape may go away after you strengthen it. It just might.
I'm thinking it eventually would. I think if you made the tissue healthy, it'd probably go away. But you know, just going by what they say, that it'll never go away. Well, okay, let's accept that temporarily, and say it never goes away. But would it be better to leave it alone, or to reinforce it, give it greater strength? Because it's still arterial tissue. Say again?
Fix a flat.
I didn't hear you.
Fix a flat might work.
Yeah, okay. We pumped some green slime into your bloodstream. Yeah, that should do the job.
Right?
plug up all the holes.
It says yeah. Here McDonald's is good for aneurysms.
For causing them?
Yeah, basically.
Smoking?
Smoking, yes.
All right. And so that, you know, I'm seeing some suggestions on here. I may not necessarily agree with what they call a healthy lifestyle, but they are overall correct. You should do healthy things. All right.
Right.
You know, this site suggests exercise, stop smoking, managing stress. All right, if you've already got an aneurysm and you're blowing your top, yelling and screaming at people, well, you're increasing your blood pressure. And the aneurysm formed at normal blood pressure in the first place. So imagine what it's going to do if you drive your blood pressure into the high range. You know, at the very least, it's going to get larger. So, yeah, I didn't read the articles thoroughly enough to. Oh, this is an interesting solution. Drink one 12 ounce.
Eucalyptus. Go ahead.
One drink a day of a 12 ounce beer, 4 ounce wine, or 1.5 ounces of 80 proof spirits, or 1 ounce of 100 proof spirits. So apparently that helps.
Cover the hops.
Oh no, they're saying to limit their alcohol levels to that. I was reading it backwards. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, if you're a drinker, don't drink any more than that.
Right. Yeah, that's don't go beyond that level. Quite frankly, if I drank those levels, I'd probably be passed out and under the table. So, but most people don't suffer the way I do from alcohol. So, you don't have a built-in limitation on your alcohol. Okay, yeah, and they're talking about lowering high cholesterol, which I find controversial, because they often consider high cholesterol to be levels that are actually not high, and they're where your cholesterol level really should be. because they're pushing for cholesterol levels that would cause brain damage. When they want you to get your
damage.
Yeah, when they want you to get your cholesterol down to below 120, well, at 120 or below, you start suffering brain damage because your brain needs cholesterol.
So you want good fat?
You want good fats. But the truth is, you'll make your own cholesterol. And the reason why eating shredded wheat will lower your cholesterol level is because you're cleaning out your gut. And you clean out your gut, and you can absorb nutrients better. And you absorb nutrients better, then your whole body's going to be healthier, including your arteries. All right? And you make cholesterol to make the band-aids to cover the weak spots in your arteries. You know, and so if you're cleaning out your gut with shredded wheat and you're eating good, healthy food, you're probably not going to be producing cholesterol anymore, and you're not going to be having aneurysms because everything's going to be strong and healthy. So,
Hawthorn berries.
Is that another cure?
And turmeric. Yep. Well,
let me
it's
see
not
if
a
I can.
Cure. But it is God's medicine.
Okay. Here's McDowell's herbal treatments for aneurysms. And I think here we go. Here's his aneurysm support mix. And he calls it a support mix. He doesn't say it's a cure. You know.
There you go.
It has, here's the herbs that it has in it. And I don't know what all these are, but I'll just read them. All right. And some are kind of interesting. All right. Rue, nettle, yarrow, oats, mistletoe. I find that kind of interesting. I don't know if I want to take mistletoe, but I'll look into it.
I heard that was
right.
Poisonous.
That's why I will look into it, because that's what I heard. Cactus.
Well, yeah, of course they say elderberries are poisonous too, and they're idiots.
That's true. And right up there with comfrey. Anyway, cactus, hawthorn, and rose hips, as well as box flower, elm.
Like the yellow dock.
I don't know what box flower is.
Oh, box. Dock. Okay.
Yeah, Bach, like the classical artist Bach.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so Bach flowers. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know what rue is either, to be honest. All right? I'm not sure if I trust mistletoe. But, you know, it might be he has a limited quantity of mistletoe in there. And you know, like Rothkrantz says, there really isn't any poisonous plants. But what there are is plants that are such strong medicine that it's dangerous to use them if you don't know what you're doing.
Like belladonna.
Like belladonna, all right. You know, I can't think of the name of it. Hemlock. I'm sure even hemlock has its proper uses, all right, other than poisoning tyrants who
pitches
force you
park
to feed them. Anyway.
If you're on your deathbed, hemlock would be a good...
it'd be tasty.
Final fix, yes.
It'd be tasty.
I want that to be my last supper.
Just to find out. Oh.
So
watch you find out you're immune at that point. All right, so there's a few more herbs.
And I could have been eating this whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Vervain. I don't know what vervain is. That's V-E-R-V-A-I-N.
Oh, okay. Let me look it up.
Okay. And then oak and impatience.
Impatience.
Impatience. Yeah, it was a flower. Impatience. That's, yeah. And then they suggest drinking lemon water and eating buckwheat. Which will add rutin levels. I'm not sure what rutin is. Anyway, I got this off of McDowell's Herbal. That'd be McDowellsHerbal.com. And then I found a site on Chinese medicine, and honestly, I don't understand Chinese medicine, but apparently there's some standard mixtures, and they gave them names. Rather than telling you what's in them, they gave the mixtures names and numbers even.
Okay, so, vervain is in Marcus Rothkrantz's book, Free Food and Medicine. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. And it says, can't do the scientific name, blue-violet pencil-like flower clusters pointed upwards with thin, long, pointy leaves. Root and leaf tea used for stomach and bowel issues, diarrhea, astringent, I'm skipping that word. Skipping that word. Cough. Whooping cough. Gum disease, colds, headache, migraines, insomnia, ulcers, expelling worms, it's a good dewormer, kidney stones, hey, kidney and gallbladder stones, bladder,
there you go.
Oh, gallbladder, okay, rheumatism, depression, stress, increases breast milk, and female wellness.
Okay.
So we should be giving that to our cattle instead of whatchamacallit. Anyways.
Instead of cement.
Yeah, instead of cement. Advisable to soak the seeds for in several changes of water first. The Indians used roasted ground seed for flour. Apparently, there have been some great results with tumors. It's not a tumor. Do not take while pregnant. Possible anti-fertility. So it could be an anti-fertility plant. So if you don't want kids, bada-boom. It's like a natural birth control, or potentially a natural birth control. And I think I've seen this plant somewhere before. So that's vervain.
All right, so I need to stay away from that. But after she's pregnant, and she's about to give birth, I give that to my wife so that she produces lots of breast milk for the baby.
Right. Yeah. to right after the birth, then you want the Mer vein.
Just before the birth. So she's ready.
Oh, okay, right.
All right, you know. Like the last 2 weeks, the month before maybe, start giving her Mer vein. Along with fenugreek. You know, I believe that fenugreek is supposed to help with milk production. Anyway, okay, this site, I'm not going to read off the website address because it's a whole bunch of ABC organizations strung together with a .gov on the end and then a whole series of other stuff behind the slash. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the title of the article and the title of the section that was in. I'll start with the title of the section that I found it in. All right. So it's I found it on a site that calls itself Frontiers in Cardiovascular Medicine. And then the actual article title is Chinese Herbal Medicine as a Potential Treatment of Abdominal Aortic Aneurysm. And then it gives the name of the people who conducted the study. All right. And it starts out with a really long abstract, and it gives the basic story of there are no known cures to aneurysms. And it also goes into stating something to the extent of they don't even really know what causes aneurysms, even though it seems kind of obvious that, you know, when your balloon gets weak, it tends to blow out a little bladder, you know. So it talks about maintaining your health, and it gives an introduction and all that. And then it starts talking about Chinese medicine. And when it gets down to that part, it basically doesn't put it in these words, but it basically says it's not curable. Except it appears that the Chinese medicine stuff might be a possible cure. And it proceeds to list the various, let's see if I can name this one. Oh, no. Yeah, they use a lot of initials in this article, too, so you can quickly get lost if you didn't catch what the... abbreviation stands for. You want to do anything else in the minute and a half we got left?
While looking through Marcus Rothkrenn's book, I discovered something that we might throw in. For our friends who are allergic to poison ivy, I have had this essential oil called
60 seconds.
And apparently mugwort is good for treatment and prevention of poison ivy. So if you're allergic to poison ivy, check out mugwort.
Cool, I've tested on me.
There you go. Yeah, we're immune, so it doesn't affect us. But anyways, that concludes the Free Food and Medicine podcast. You'll find out more at Free Food and Medicine .net.com or .org.
All righty. Good night, folks.
All right, good night.
Ten seconds.